This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
If our highest purpose in life as a human being is khilafah, is stewardship of the creation, then we should know that we don't deserve that role until we've purified ourselves and we've improved ourselves. And so Al-Raghib al-Isfahani, then he moves into, here's the project of self-reform. Here's the project of developing the self. How are we going to do it? Right, we've just established the motivation as to why. What are the steps? How are we going to get there? And he gives three parables, and they're all interrelated and they're all sequential. So the first parable he gives is that of a boat. So imagine that you are on a boat, okay? Is it possible for a boat to stay absolutely still on the water? It's not really possible, especially if you don't have an anchor. It's going to drift this way. It's going to drift that way. The boat's in motion. Okay. Everybody who exists in the world, they're on the boat, whether they know it or not. The boat's moving. Only a few people are aware of the fact that the boat is moving. And so they're making preparations for what's going to happen when we hit land. What do I need to do? What's the first thing I'm going to do when I hit land? Like, what needs to be taken care of? Most people, they're just asleep. They're on the boat. They're looking at the water. They're looking at the sky. Oh, this is nice. But they have no idea. If we want to give a modern day example, maybe we can compare it to a subway or a train or something like that, right? The train's not staying still. It's moving. And so if it's moving, okay, if it's moving, how much does it make sense to imagine this. Okay, you go to the subway or you go to the train and you've got your bag and it's full with clothes and it's got, you know, some things that you need for your trip. Would it make sense to open up your bag and just like spread out everything, start hanging your clothes off the railings, you know, put your books, set up your computer, everything as if you're in your final destination, as if you're in your hotel room or you've reached home? That doesn't make any sense at all. Why? Because it's just a transitional state. You're in the train just to get from one place to another. It's never meant to be your final resting place, right? There's something after that's going to come, and you need to be ready, right? When your stop's coming, it's announced over the intercom. You have to have your bag in hand, all your stuff collected, and then you need to get off, right? Imagine this person who, under their delusion, they thought that the train was their final destination, and they got all their stuff spread out, and then the captain or the conductor, you know, says over the intercom, "Oh, here's your stop." What are they going to do? They're going to have to scramble around and gather their things, and they're probably not going to make it. Right. So that's the first step, is to wake up. This life that we're on, it's like a boat or it's like a train. It's moving. We're going to die. There's an afterlife. Instead of spreading out all of our things here and imagining that this is our final destination, it's not. It's actually just a train car that's taking us to our final destination. And so we need to have our bags in hand, ready for the second when our time is up and the angel comes to take our soul, so that we're ready to step off that train to get to where we're finally going. The second parable that Al-Raghib al-Isfahani gives when it comes to how do we embark on this journey of improving the self is about light. And he talks about the famous ayah in Surah An-Nur, which the chapter is named after. Nurun al-Nur, right? Like there's this like light upon light. And the scholars, they have so many different interpretations of what this particular verse means. What does it represent? It's very, very symbolic. It's very metaphorical. And so it's open to interpretation. And Al-Raghib al-Isfahani himself, he understands it as the light of revelation. What happens when it is matched with the light of intellect? Okay, that's what he imagines, the light upon light. There's a light that every single person has inside of them, which is their capacity for intellect. And then there's a light that comes from outside, which is the light of revelation, the Quran, the Sunnah, the things that Allah has given us. And when you combine those two things, when you use your intellect in the way that Allah intended to submit to the revelation, and you use your intellect to apply the revelation, and you use your intellect to, to preach the revelation to other people, to spread it and to make sense of it in an appropriate way, then this is it's like a multiplying effect. It's amplified. And so this is how a human being is supposed to be. This is their tools, right? So the first parable kind of answers the sense of urgency, the motivation. Okay, I've got my Netflix show coming on tonight. I'm going to go watch it at 6, and I've got this other thing here, and it's all kind of tied to my dunya and my livelihood and things like that. What's going to give me the motivation to improve myself? It's the urgency that's provided when realizing that I'm just in this train car getting to my last destination. What do I use? What are my tools to improve myself? Here's these two tools, light upon light, the light of revelation and the light of the intellect. The two tools that Allah gave me. As he said in the Surah Al-Mulk, the two regrets of the people of hellfire, وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ. If only we had either listened to the revelation or used our brains. Right. So these are the two tools that Allah gave you in order to right yourself, in order to fix yourself. This is what is your capital that was given to you in advance. And the final parable that the author gives is that of a farmer. Okay. He compares the world to a field. And the plants are like your actions or your good deeds. Right. So you're going to plant this seed. And then you're going to tend to it. And then you're not going to truly harvest it until your death. Okay, the moment of your death, that's the harvest. And so if you look across from farm to farm to farm, you're going to see a lot of different things, right? You're going to see some people who only planted a little bit or only planted like a mono crop, right? Just like one type of good deed. And some people, maybe they planted a lot of seeds, but they didn't cultivate them. They didn't tend to them. They didn't protect them from showing off or from arrogance or from pride or these sorts of things. And so they have seeds all over the place, but then there's weeds and there's all these other sorts of things that have taken over. Then there's other people whose gardens are just absolutely immaculate. You know, everything is just so clean and the fruits are enormous and ripe and shining. And then you have some people who they're just sitting watching the weeds grow. They didn't even plant anything. That's the person in the train car who spread out all their things. They think that we're just here just to watch the weeds grow. Right. And so when the end of life comes and it's harvest time, then we're going to get to the barn, right? Where everything is weighed. Okay. Everything, you're going to see everybody's fruits on display. This person has nothing. This person has, okay, funny looking fruit. This person has like, wow, like very, very professional looking fruit. Like that's going to be the day when, and then you're going to have to pay, right? This is also part of the metaphor. How do you get the seeds? You have debts to pay. Right? You got to pay back your creditors. You got to pay back the person who lent you the tools. You got to pay back for the seeds. You got to pay for the labor. You got to pay for all this stuff. And then you're going to find out what's left in your scale. Did you plant enough good deeds in order for you to pay back all your creditors and have something left over? Or did you waste your time? You wasted your tools. You wasted your energy and you don't have anything. In fact, you're still in debt. So these three parables Al-Raghib al-Isfahani gives us in order to show us the sequence. The first sequence for self-improvement is to wake up. That gives us the urgency. That gives us the motivation. The second is about guidance, right? And the tools, the innate tools and the external tools that Allah gave us to improve ourselves. Revelation, guidance, and intellect. And the third thing, the third parable is meant to draw our attention to action, right? All this stuff is just theory. Unless we actually start doing good deeds, unless we actually start getting into the field, getting our hands dirty, hoeing the garden, right? Removing the weeds, watering the plants, those sorts of things.